the word of God,
domin ko idan kai wa'azin bishara,
you are confronted with the holiness of God.
Za ku ko samu ainihin bayyanar
holiness.
Okay, tsarkin Allah.
And you're confronted with your own sinfulness.
Sannan ko za ka samu a bayyane zunubanka.
It's true when you handle the word of God.
Da gaske ne idan ko kai mu'amala da kalmar Allah.
That it affects the preacher as much as those who are preached to. God gives us his word so we can see his glory. And when we can see his glory, we are changed. We become more like his precious son. When we see the light of Jesus Christ, it causes us to turn from our own darkness, the sin that is within us. As I come tonight, I pray that God causes you to see a greater vision of who he is. Because that's what each of us needs. The better we see God, the better we serve him. The better we serve him, the better we love our neighbor. The better we fulfill the two great commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. The more distorted vision of God you have, the less you love him, the less you glorify him. The less you fulfill the purpose for which you were created. For the purpose of all creation is to glorify God. So last night I said I was going to work over these 3 nights to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall have everlasting life. Because this verse has a real significant context around it. And I talked about how before Jesus said John 3:16, he started by confronting Nicodemus. Confronting him and saying, don't you know you must be a new creature to enter the kingdom of God? That you must be washed by the water and by the Spirit of God. Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And because it is a spiritual work, it is a work that is impossible for us to do. Because before we're saved, we are not spiritual. We're of the flesh. And only and flesh can only produce more flesh. It requires the spirit to create a spiritual being. Jesus is confronting Nicodemus, the ruler who was a Pharisee. This man who is known as a great scholar and rabbi. And Jesus says, these are things you must know. And one of the hardest things for people to accept is what Jesus Christ said in verse 8. The Spirit blows where it wills. The Spirit blows where it wills, not where you will. That's why we're commanded to pray for people's salvation. Because God decides who will be saved and who will be damned. And that's the context that Nicodemus says, verse
9.
He answered and said to him, how can these things be? How can these things be? I have declared the truth of who God is before many people in my life. And I've heard many times, but how can these things be? What does that make us? If God saves who He chooses to save, what did we do for our salvation? And the answer is nothing. The answer is that God is Almighty. You have no strength except the strength given to you by God. The Spirit blows where it wills and no one can control it. In my experience, people don't have a problem with this for other people. They're happy to pray for somebody else's salvation. They're happy to believe that God can control whether that person is saved. But when they look at themselves in the mirror, they say, God can't force me to be saved. God can't reject me. It has to be me who decides. People pray believing in the sovereignty of God. People pray saying God will set His love on who He sets His love on. Except when it comes to themselves. If you don't believe God saves who He will save, stop praying for the lost. Don't be a hypocrite. If you don't believe that God solely did the work of saving you, then don't pray for God to do the work of saving others. But you know God commanded you to pray for the salvation of others. Accept the God of Scripture. Believe that is the God who created heaven and earth. The God that can make Romans 8:28 be true.
Allah da iya maida Roma sura 28:8 zaman to da gaske.
all things work together for the good of those who love God and those who are the called according to His purpose. If God doesn't control all things, then He cannot declare all things good. He cannot say all things are for the good of His people. He must control all things in order to say the Fulani attacks are good for His people. But many people still say, like Nicodemus, how can these things be true? The reason Nicodemus could not see it isn't because God didn't say it to him. Because God said it to him over and over again. And the Pharisees were known to memorize Scripture. They were known to have the first five books of the Bible memorized. And this isn't a new idea by Jesus Christ. This is how God described Himself from the beginning. Such as Deuteronomy 32. In Deuteronomy 32, God is telling Israel what is going to happen to them. He's telling them that they are going to be rejected by Him. He's going to tell them that He's given them lands and fields and vineyards. But instead of saying, God did all this, they will say, we did it ourselves. How many people who are saved say the same thing? Let me change that. How many people who say they are saved say the same thing? God reached down and He rescued them. And they said, we did it ourselves. God reached down and rescued them from Egypt. And He took them and delivered them to the promised land. That's a picture of being saved from our sin. And being part of the kingdom of God. And how many people are like Israel? That instead of saying, God did this, they say, we did this ourselves. And that's the context that we get to verse 34. Is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures?
Chapter 32, verse 34.
He's saying He's laid up in store vengeance against Israel. He said He delivered them. He set them in a good place. And they rejected him and said, we did it ourselves. And like in verse 30, he says, how could one put 10,000 to flight? And it was because God did it, not them. And so then he says in verse 35, vengeance is mine in recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things to come hasten upon them. He's promising that the day is going to come that he has set in place. About 1,500 years before it happened, that he is going to send a sword and destroy his people. There's nothing any of them could do about it. Not because God wouldn't forgive them if they repented. God promises forgiveness if we repent. But they couldn't repent. Because repentance is a gift from God. Repentance is because God opens our eyes to sin. And then we seek him. And then we find him. That's how salvation works. And he, just like Esau, sought repentance with tears but could not find it. He had set the day in place where he was going to destroy Israel to show it is not their work, but his work. Make sure you believe in that God. As it says in verse 39, now see that I, even I, am he. Verse 39.
Yes.
There is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. There is, nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. He kills and he makes alive. In a physical sense, he is the one who kills and he is the one who makes alive. And in a spiritual sense, he is the one who kills and he alone is the one who makes alive. The reason Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ by night was because he thought men could kill and make alive. But men cannot kill, nor can they make alive. There is no other God, as he says in Deuteronomy. And the sign that he points to is he is the one who kills, he is the one who makes alive. Make sure you believe in this God. Don't be like Nicodemus who said, how can these things be? He told us, He told us in his scriptures who he is.
Ya faɗa mana wane ne shi a cikin littattafai.
He's very clear in Exodus 33.
Yana nan a bayyane a cikin fitowa sura 33.
Starting at verse 17.
Zamu fara karatu daga aya ta 17.
This is when Moses goes up on the mountain and receives the Ten Commandments.
Anan ne lokacin da Musa ya tafi kan dutse ya karbi alkawari.
And while he's up there, he hears Aaron leading the people into sin.
A lokacin da yake a gurin yana tafi yana shugabantar mutane da ke yin zinubi.
And he goes down among the people and he breaks the Ten Commandments.
Sai ko ya je a tsakanin mutane sai ya fasa wannan dokokin alkawari.
He goes up again to God.
Sai ko ya koma ga gun Allah.
And God says, I'm just going to destroy every one of these people. None of them will survive. For I took them out of Egypt and they sought idolatry. They made the golden calf. And Moses falls down before the creator of the universe. And he begs him not to kill Israel. And God says, don't worry, I'll raise up a great people for you. And Moses says, but all the nations will say that you are a God who cannot deliver your people.
Musa ko ya ce masa dukkan duniya za ta shaidi cewa kai ne ba ka iya ceton mutananka ba.
And God decides not to kill all of them.
Sai Allah ya juya daga halakar da mutanansa.
And then Moses says to God,
Sai Musa ya ce wa Allah,
show me your glory.
Ka nuna mana daukakanka.
Show me your glory.
Kanuna mana daukakanka.
And then God responds to Moses in verse 17.
Sai Allah ya amsa wa Musa a aya ta 17.
So the Lord said to Moses,
Ubangiji kuma ya ce wa Musa,
I will also do this thing that you have spoken.
Wannan abu wanda ka ambata na yi shi.
For you have found grace in my sight.
Gama ka samu tagomashi a ido na.
And I know you by name.
Da sunanka kuwa na san ka.
And he said, please show me your glory.
Yace ina rokonka ka nuna mini darajarka.
Then I want you to listen carefully how God responds.
Ina so ku saurari yadda Allah ya amsa masa.
Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you.
Yace zan sa dukkan nagartata ta wuce a gaban ka.
And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you.
Inyi sheran sunan Ubangiji a gaban ka.
And I want to make sure you understand when he says the name of the Lord. He's saying this is his reputation. When Proverbs says a good name is better than riches. It's not talking about what people call you. It's talking about your reputation, what you're known as. Do you have a name as a thief, or do you have a name as a gentle, kind man? Do you have a name as an angry man? Or the name of a generous man? That's what it means when we say and we proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus Christ, it's what he did and who he is. So God says, I'm going to tell you my name, my reputation. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you.
Zan tabbatar da sunan
Moses asked to see God's glory. And God says, I will show you my glory. I will show you who I am. And he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. The glory of God, as he declares it, is based on the idea that he gets to decide who is saved. He is the one who decides who is saved. Do you bless the name of the Lord? For he said, this is my name, this is who I am. I am the one will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And if you go to Romans, Paul quotes it in Romans 9. Let's start in verse 13. As it is written, Jacob I have loved. But Esau I have hated. And let's be clear, in verse 11 it says, for the children not yet being born. God chose to hate Esau before he did anything. God chose to love Jacob before he did anything. It is written, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. And Paul understands what the immediate response is to the message that I'm saying to you. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? If it is impossible to deliver us from our sin, does that mean God is unrighteous? The answer is certainly not. Certainly not. It is not unrighteous for God not to show mercy to somebody. It is His glory that He doesn't have to show mercy to anybody. It is His glory and His glory alone that He saves. Praise be the name of God. This is the God of Scripture. And this is where he quotes Exodus
33.
Paul's argument about why it is righteous for God to love Jacob and hate Esau. It's because it is the glory of God to do so. You have no claim on God. It is solely by His grace that any are saved. It is solely by His work that any are saved. For in verse 15, he says, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. This is what God said was His name. This is what God said was His glory. Have you called on the name of God? There is no other name under heaven by which one can be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you called on the one who will show compassion to whomever He will show compassion? Verse
16.
So then it is not of Him who wills. You cannot will your way into heaven. It is not by Him who runs. You cannot work your way into heaven. It's of God who shows mercy. There have been billions of people that have read this book that are in the same place as unsaved Nicodemus. Well, they say, how can this be? How can God be like this? Instead of falling down before God and saying, save me, Lord, I cannot do it myself. Call on the name of the Lord. For that is His glory. Nicodemus doesn't understand that. Do you understand that? Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. It is not your wisdom. It is not your work. It's the goodness of God. It is His glory. Don't be like Nicodemus. Saying, how can these things be? Instead, humble yourself before this God. The God who is creator of heaven and earth. The God who gives you every breath you breathe. The God who made you alive. And the God who will kill you. Believe in this God. Believe in His name. For the sake of His glory. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said, John 3:10. Sorry. Jesus answered and said to him. Now I'll give you time to get back. John 3:10.
All right.
Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?
Yes, you am Samasa Yeche. Kai mai koyawa Isra'ila ne baka fahimci waɗannan abubuwa ba.
These, Jesus Christ is saying, these are the most basic things that you must know.
Yesu na faɗa masa cewa waɗannan ƙananan abubuwa ne da ya kamata ka sani.
Nicodemus was reading the scriptures as a dead man.
Nicodemus yana karanta littattafai a matsayin mataccen mutum ne.
A man who is not being informed by the Spirit of God.
Mutumin da bai samu sani daga Ruhu Mai Tsarki ba.
A God who could read scripture over and over again.
Wanda zai iya karanta littafi akai akai.
He could memorize books of the Bible.
Wanda zai iya ma haddace littafi mai tsarki.
He spent years teaching others.
Ya yi shekaru da yawa yana koyar da waɗansu.
Till he got elected to be a ruler of Israel.
Har ya kai inda aka zaɓe shi ya zama ɗaya daga cikin shugabannin bari Isra'ila.
As a member of the tribe of the intellectual Hebrews.
A matsayin waɗanda yake cikin shugabannin kabilin Isra'ila.
And Jesus Christ says to him,
Yesu ko ya ce masa,
Do you not know the most basic things?
Baka san ƙananan abubuwan nan ba.
You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Sai an sake haifanka kafin ka shiga mulkin Allah.
And the Holy Spirit blows where it wills, and there is no man that can stop it, and there is no man that can force it.
Ruhu Mai Tsarki ko na butsowa inda ya ga dama zai kai inda ya je ba mutum da zai iya tsayar da shi.
Are you reading the scriptures as a living spiritual being?
Kana karanta littafi mai tsarki a matsayin mai rai ta ruhaniya?
Are you dead in your sins and trespasses?
Ko kuma kana nan ne matacce cikin zunubanka?
And it's just words on a page.
Kalmomi ne ko kadai akan takarda.
Instead of life.
Maimakon ya zamanto rai.
Because God says this is your life.
Domin Allah ya ce wannan ita ce rayuwarka.
But it's only the life of those who God has given spiritual life.
Ya zamanto ko rai ne ga waɗanda Allah ya ba su dama su samu rai ta ruhaniya.
When we see Jesus Christ say to his disciples,
idan ko muka ga inda Yesu ya faɗa wa almajiransa,
he who loses his life will gain it.
Wanda ya rasa ransa zai samu ta.
He who God kills,
wanda ko Allah ya kashe,
will be made alive in Christ.
Za a mai da shi mai rai cikin Yesu Almasihu.
We can only lose our life if God kills us.
Za mu iya rasa ranmu idan ko Allah ya kashe mu.
And we can only gain life if he makes us alive.
Allah ko zai iya ba mu rai, za mu iya samu rai idan ya ba mu rai.
Read the scriptures as they're written.
Ku karanta littafi kamar yadda aka rubuta ta.
These aren't secrets, they're explained throughout his scriptures.
Wa'annan ko ba asirai ba ne an bayyana ta a fili a cikin littafi mai tsarki.
Open your eyes and read the scriptures.
Ku buɗe idanunku ku karanta littattafai masu tsarki.
Put aside your ideas of what is righteous and what is good.
Ku tura baya tunaninku akan wane ne Allah.
And seek to understand what God says is righteous and good. Nicodemus kept his own view of God. Even though God had said over and over again who he was. Make sure you want to know the God of the scriptures.
Ku tabbata cewa kuna so ku san Allah da ke littattafai.
Because who was speaking to Moses on that mountain?
Domin ko wanda yake magana wa Musa akan wannan dutsen?
No one seen the Father at any time.
Ba wanda ya taba ganin Uban a kowane lokaci.
He is a spirit.
Shi ko ruhu ne.
Jesus Christ speaking to Moses and saying, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Make sure you believe in this Jesus Christ.
Verse
12. Verse 11.
Aya 11 ta Yahaya ko kuma Yohana sura 3.
Most assuredly I say to you,
hakika hakika ina ce maka,
we speak what we know,
muna faɗin abin da muna ji,
and testify what we have seen,
muna shaida abin da mun gani.
Jesus Christ came.
Yesu ya zo.
He came from heaven, being from the presence of the Father.
Yazo dunia daga fuskar Ubangiji.
And Nicodemus has the gall, the guts to say.
Nicodemus yace.
Has the brazenness, the boldness
to say. Nicodemus koena da kuzarin fada cewa.
How can these things be?
Ya ya wannan za su kasance.
And Jesus Christ says, I know I came from heaven.
Yes, yace na sani na zo daga sama.
Understand the temptation. The sin to say that when you read the scripture, God can't be like that. God can't kill billions of people. God can't kill people who have never heard the name of Christ and send them to hell. God can't say that many are the way that are on the road to destruction. And few are on the path to eternal life. Yes, he can. For this is his glory. And it's very sinful for us to read the scripture and skip over it, because the God that's described is not the one we want to believe in. God's character does not change based on what you believe. What God does not change based on what you believe. Believe in the God of Scriptures. Read the Scriptures and say, this is a gift from God that He has revealed Himself to us. Don't be like Nicodemus. Who in the end of verse 11, Jesus Christ says to him, you do not receive our witness. God witnessed to this through Moses. He witnessed to this through Joshua, through David. Through Samuel, through Elijah, through Elisha. Through all the prophets, they all say the same thing. They all say there is only one God. And He is the Almighty God. I think when we hear the term Almighty God, we twist it to think it says the mightiest God. That's not who He is. He is the Almighty God, which means there is no might outside of God. We cannot take a breath except because God gives us the strength. We cannot get out of bed in the morning except God gives us the strength. There is no might outside of God. He is not the mightiest. He is the only one that has might. But yet we don't want to receive His witness. Humble yourself. Open the scriptures and see what they say. For this is the God they describe. This is the God who's declared in the scriptures. This is what's required for salvation. Not to believe in a God that's named Jesus Christ. But to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no other name by which one can be saved. If you go to Genesis
17.
Genesis 17 is where he promises that he will raise up a people to Abraham. This is the first time that the term Almighty God is used. Genesis 17, starting in verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. It is by God that he chose Abraham. It is God that made Abraham blameless and walked before him. Abraham walked in the presence of God by God's strength and not by Abraham's strength. And God says, I will make a covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Just like his glory is related to the idea that he will save whom he will save. His declaration of his almightiness. The declaration of his omnipotence is that he chooses who he saves. Do you receive his witness? He came from heaven, and this is Christ saying it. This is who Christ is. Do you receive his witness? Or are you like unsaved Nicodemus? Who says, how can these things be? Jesus Christ goes on in verse
12.
If I have told you earthly things, chapter 3, verse 12. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He's telling him things that he should be able to understand. Like I was saying last night, God ordered the world so that we could understand who he is. So Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus.
Yes, Nicodemus.
He's telling him about earthly things. He's telling him about being born. He's telling him about wind. And he's saying these things declare who God is.
Yes.
John or Nicodemus thought he was wise. And Jesus Christ says, you can't understand simple things. Things that have been right in front of you your whole life. You can't understand why there's a breeze blowing right now. You can't understand why birth looks like the way that birth looks. Don't expect God to reveal more significant things. If you can't even understand the earthly pictures He has put before you. If you can't understand how a father and son is a picture of God the Father and God the Son. If you can't understand that a husband and wife is a picture of Christ and His church. If you can't understand planting a seed in the field and it comes up and produces a plant that has many more grains. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you can't understand the basic pictures that God has put in the world. And don't expect to have deeper understanding about other things. If you can't understand how the world is ordered by God, then don't expect to have deeper understanding.
Verse
13. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Why would Jesus Christ all of a sudden change the subject? And say, there is only one who has come down from heaven. He is the only one who has come down from heaven. Because there were many false prophets in Israel who said they were sent by God. Who said that they had the words of God. Who said they had spiritual understanding. There are still many, many men today who say, I'm a man of God. I'm a prophet of God. But instead of saying what God said, they said what they wanted to hear, what they wanted to believe. They said peace, peace when there is no peace. They say that you're fine with God when your hearts are far from Him. They're saying you're saved by if you believe in the God that they're preaching. If they are not preaching the word of God, their witness is worthless. The things that I say here that do not align with the word of God are worthless. The purpose of every single prophet, whether Isaiah or Joshua or Moses or Malachi, or Peter or Paul, their job is to declare the Jesus Christ who descended from heaven. The one who declared himself to us. There are always others who will declare another God. But what we need to do is not know what men are declaring to other men. But what God declared about himself. That is the message the world needs. It doesn't need your wisdom. It doesn't need your cleverness. It doesn't need your fancy words. It just needs you to say who Christ is. Because his reputation, what he did by descending from heaven, taking on flesh, being mocked and hated, going to his own and being rejected, and being willing to lay down his life. Because he is the Almighty God. No one could take it from him. He had to lay it down. And he took it up again. So that we could know. He is the one who kills and makes alive. He died and he rose again. So that you could have life. So that you could have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in him. Only those who he shows mercy will ever believe in him. And I want to make that argument from verse 14. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. To understand what he's talking about, you have to go to Numbers 21. Because Numbers 21 explains what he's talking about. He's saying, this has always been declared to the people of God. This is how you are saved. Numbers 21. Verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way.
Ya Israel ba su kai tafiya daga dutsen Hor ta hanyar jan teku domin su zaga.
Verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Notice what they're doing. They've been freed from slavery. God has been providing every meal, every day. But instead of saying, this is the mercy of God that he provided manna from heaven, they say our soul loathes this worthless bread. Now, the New Testament is clear that manna from heaven is Christ. When they say, When they say they loathe the bread, they're saying they loathe Christ. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Verse
6.
And they bit the people. And they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. God punishes them. God punishes them for their sin. They become a miserable people. If God wouldn't have moved, they would have stayed exactly where they were. Satisfied in their sin. Proud in their claims against God. But God doesn't do that. He causes there to be judgment for sin. And then verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you." God had given them eyes to see through the various things that he had done to the people of Israel. The plagues that he had sent on Egypt. The way he divided the Red Sea and they walked through it. The way he demonstrated his power and might with the thunders and lightnings around the mount. Because God kept revealing himself to them. They knew to look. They didn't say, "This just happened to be what was going on." They said these fiery serpents were sent because of the hand of God. They didn't just say, "This is where we happen to be in the desert where there's lots of fiery serpents." God had given them an understanding of the world. Because of his goodness, he sent the serpents because of his goodness. They didn't seek God because they wanted to find God. They sought God because God started killing them. Understand how serious true faith is. God kills people to make sure we have a picture. The people said, "We have sinned against God. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live." They knew they were dying by the fiery serpent. There are many, many, many people that do not know that they are dying because of sin. For the wages of sin is death. But most people don't believe that. seeing that your sin leads to death is the mercy of God. It's part of that birth process of being born again. You have to understand you have rebelled against the living God. That He is going to kill you. You must fear that God to be saved. You must see God and fear Him to be saved. They had to recognize they were dying. They had to recognize they were being killed by God before they would look at the serpent on the pole. Before they would live. This is still the way it works. We sin. God judges us for that sin. God reveals to us in His mercy that we're dying because of our sin. And everyone He reveals that to. Everyone who understands that. They look at the cross of Christ. Because that's where salvation is. Because it says in John 3, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Just like that serpent had to be lifted up. In order for people who knew they were dying to look to Him to be saved. It's still the same now. Do you know you're dying without Christ? When you preach the gospel to your neighbors, when you preach the gospel to people who do not know Christ, do you start with how they have offended a holy God? Because that's the core problem. God is huge. He is infinite. Infinite in His power. Infinite in his knowledge. Infinite in His presence. And He is a God who cannot look upon evil. And we are evil. That's what your neighbor needs to know. That's what you need to make sure that you know. That any rebellion against a holy God is worthy of eternal damnation. And you need to come to Christ with humility. Because it's He who shows mercy to whom He will show mercy. Anyone God is kind and merciful to. So that they understand the judgment that is upon them. There's only one thing that they will ever do. They will always see Christ. If God gives us eyes to see, if He gives us ears to hear, if He gives us a heart to understand, and we understand who God is, and we understand who we are, we will always look to Christ. Because there is no other name under heaven by which one can be saved. Verse 15, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 15. John 3:15.
Okay. Let me just translate that.
Yes. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Right before John 3:16, the example that Christ used is not an example about the might of man. It is about the mercy of God. It is about the revelation of God, who He is. Have you looked to Christ? Do you know who God is? Do you know who you are? Have you fled to Christ? Or do you really think your sin's not that bad? Because that means you think God's not that holy. You think He's just like you are. And if you think that you can control whether you're saved, you have made yourself a God over God. You don't want a God that can't, or that you don't want a God who you can control. Because if you can control God, God is not powerful enough to save. God is not powerful enough to make sure you have eternal life. Don't believe in a weak God. Believe in the Almighty God. Because there's no other name by which one can be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in the name of Jesus Christ? Not the words Jesus Christ, but who He says that He is. It is about His glory. It is about God's glory. That's what all our lives are supposed to be about. And because God created us for His glory, He will be glorified by you. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Everyone will confess the true name of Christ. The Christ that's described in the Bible. Some will declare it on this earth. Some will confess His name on this earth. And some will confess it before they're cast into hell. God will glorify some. As He says in Romans 9, He will receive glory by making some vessels of honor. He uses a picture of a king's house where some are the golden vessels that the kings drink from. And some are the chamber pot that's under the bed so they don't have to go out in the dark. That's the picture. God has chosen some to be vessels of honor. And he's chosen some for him to relieve himself in. This is who God is. Fear that God. See the evil of your sin. Humble yourself before him. And cry out to him for salvation. I don't believe that it's a good practice to call people to come forward. Because then you're seen by men. And that's not your problem. Your problem is with God. Deal with God. See him for who he is and deal with God. For those who know God, I'm going to take a period of silence here for you to reflect on his glory and on his majesty. And to reflect on how you could do nothing to become one with him. Those of you who do not know God, today, deal with him. For you don't know what tomorrow holds. Today is the day to deal with the true and living God.
I
want to give a few minutes here and then I'll pray. Consider the words. Oh Lord, I pray that anybody who is here who does not know you, and unquestionably there are, that your spirit moves, your spirit takes them from being carnal and makes them spiritual. Lord, even if you don't save them tonight, I cry out to you that you begin the process. Give them a vision of your holiness tonight, Lord. Let them see you for who you are. For you are the glory of all creation. You are the beauty of all creation. You are the strength of all things. You are all knowing, all wise. Lord, I pray that you move among us. Reveal yourself to us. Even to those who know you, give them a greater vision of who you are. Let your fear fall upon us in greater measure. Let us have more hatred for our sin. Let us be filled with more praise for your mercy. For we have no claim to it. Because when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, when we were in absolute, unconditional rebellion to you, you chose to love us. You chose to love us in our filth. You chose to love us in our hatred for you. You chose to love us in our pride. You chose to love us even though we rejected you as God. And because you loved us, we loved you. We thank you that it is your work that saves us. Because without your mercy of revealing yourself to us, no one would seek you. But everyone here who is saved has sought you. We thank you that you let us find you. We thank you that it is your gift. So we don't steal your glory. For this is your glory. To show mercy to whom you will show mercy. Praise be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.